I came out of the memory feeling cold. It was appalling, the sort of memory you only kept for blackmail. I pushed the memory orb far away from me.
Steel Hoofs?
I approached the Steel Ranger cautiously.
I want to talk to you about Applejack and her ministry.
The helmet of the armor-clad ranger turned towards me. He said nothing.
You knew her, probably better than anyone other than family and her lifelong friends. What happened?
Mega spells fell.
Steelhoof's deadpanned.
Everypony died.
I sighed. He was going to be that way about it. I tried again.
What happened between her and the Ministry of Technology?
Are you ordering me to tell you?
He asked strangely.
No,
I said, the question making me feel awkward.
I'm asking you. I wanted to know.
Because you know it will be tactically advantageous to have that information.
I hung my head in exasperation.
No, because...
I stopped, unsure.
Because as dumb as this probably sounds, I care.
My words surprised me, as did the truth behind them. Somehow I'd come to actually care for this group of six ponies from 200 years ago, the ministry mares. I didn't understand why. It made no sense. But at some point my glimpses into the past had evolved from mere academic curiosity to a genuine feeling of attachment. Maybe it was meeting Spike, hearing his stories of a bright and joyous past, and the adventures of these close friends certainly sealed the transformation. Part of me wanted a happy ending for at least one of them. Reality painted the chance of that as heart-rendingly bleak. I knew that, but I wasn't willing to stop hoping anyway. Looking past Steel Hoofs, I took in the night-shrouded equestrian wasteland. The low clouds over Philadelphia glowed a dark red, reflecting the lights from below. Hell. We were literally going into hell. The low rumble of Steel Hoof's voice startled me. He began. I turned towards the ghoul pony who had, I was certain, once been Applejack's lover.
It wasn't like running a farm or organizing the winter wrap-up.
I heard a snort of laughter from inside his helmet.
Which, come to think of it, she needed Twilight Sparkle's help for anyway. So she just hired a whole bunch of business ponies to do it for her.
I wondered how many of those ponies I had just shared a balcony with. Steelhoofs continued with a touch of uncharacteristic nostalgia.
Was for the Ministry of Technology to help encourage and subsidize enterprises that were pushing greater technological and industrial advancements. The Ministry promoted the principles of the Earth Pony Way and sought to help make Equestria better for all ponies through that ethic.
Steelhoofs was looking out at the horizon, at Philadelphia. His voice held firm, but I could tell this was an emotional thing for the ghoul pony to talk about. I listened reverently, knowing that this was a gift.
Applejack didn't want to stick her hoofs into other ponies' businesses any more than she wanted any pony messing around with her farm. She believed in the inherently good nature of ponies, and felt they should be left to the guidance of their own virtues.
He turned to me suddenly, a note of bitterness creeping into his voice.
The problem is, industries and corporations aren't ponies. They don't have a good nature. They're like mainframes calculating risk and profit. And if the numbers are strong enough, they'd throw baby fillies into the gears of their own machine to grease the flow of capital.
I suddenly found myself thinking of the Crusader mainframe in Stable 29.
When Applejack returned to the Ministry of Technology after the death of her brother, her only intention was to focus the efforts of her ministry for as long as it took to create a new, better suit of armor. One that would not fail to protect a pony like Big Macintosh's armor had failed to save him. But the longer she stayed, the deeper the pit of horrors she began to uncover. What wasn't corrupt was out of control. And so she tried to fix things, tried to put bits and reins on development, regulate corporate misconduct.
Steelhoofs fell silent, staring at me for a long time. I felt he was assessing my understanding and perhaps wizard my worthiness of this gift. Finally, he finished by adding,
"And that's not something any pony was going to be happy about, and that some ponies wouldn't stand for."
Dear you know what word I hate more than any other? Slave. Yes, we are all bound in the chains of industry, but even more, there is a greater chain that holds us together. It is a chain of mutual responsibility, and to break free of that chain is to become nothing better than a raider, the most loathsome and repugnant sort of leech on our great Equestria. If I am a slave because I am not independent of virtue and accountability to my fellow pony, then I do not want freedom. The freedom to be worthless, destructive, unproductive. License to abandon the future that only together we may achieve. This is not liberty. It is anarchy at its most vile. And the good, hard-working, and honorable ponies of Equestria will not stand for it. Will you? Raiders are the epitome of the sins of the past. Selfish, lazy, greedy.
They take what they cannot build for themselves, and they destroy what they cannot take. They infest the Equestrian wasteland like termites, chewing away at the already frail bones of our once great nation. They even skitter about in the ruins of Philadelphia, chittering just outside the wall. Rest assured, my little ponies, that when the rebirth comes, there will be no room for such harmful and parasitical insects in our new world. Those who do not join the unity will be crushed under our hoofs, stamped out once and for all. We may not even have to wait that short time. Even today, the glorious army of the Children of Unity grows stronger, mightier, and the goddess sends out her children, created in her image, to scour the wasteland. Yes, to those of you out there who are termites, to the raiders, the steel rangers, and the cannibals, I have this to say. The purge is coming.
Footnote, level up. Skill note. Lockpicking has reached 100%. New perk, Clever Prancer. Through agility and reflexes, you have become deft at striking where it hurts while preventing your enemies from doing the same. You gain an additional 5% to score a critical hit. Your enemies suffer a 25% penalty to their chance to critically hit you. This perk is only effective when wearing light or no armor. Okay, what do I have to say about this chapter overall? First of all, you may have seen that I have divided this chapter into three parts. Why did I do that? That's pretty simple. My computer is, you could say, dying. I had this chapter already recorded in one long sing, over an hour long, and the result was that my computer almost, well, gave up. So long recordings like this will be divided into like half an hour parts now because, I seriously don't like seeing my computer, well, kill itself, hang itself, because I went over like an hour or 40 minutes even, because that is what happened. I had it already recorded, was in the process of mixdown, and then the computer just went out. It just shut down. No error message, no nothing, it just went down. It took me like 20 minutes to determine that it was the battery of my laptop. As soon as I plugged it out and pressed the power button again, for some reason it works, but it's kinda, even this short recording now of like 10 minutes is, well, I have my browser open, reading the story, and I can't do anything else. If I open another browser window, then the computer shuts down again. Yeah, so I'll have to divide, make chapters in like 30-minute parts now, maximum, because otherwise this computer dies. Okay, and I don't have some money for a new one, so don't get me started. What do I think about this chapter? First of all, what I really liked about this was Little Pip hasn't learned anything from her trip to Ironshot Firearms, has she? I mean, she goes into a power plant with Steelhoofs and Velvet Remedy, even though Steelhoofs has warned her about Hellhounds. Yeah, not the smartest thing to do, especially if we think back to Ironshot Firearms, where she just barely escaped several security robots.
And of course, that little part with Velvet Remedy, where Velvet Remedy is teasing her with like, oh, that's why you aren't attracted to me anymore. I'm getting fat and old and what's not. I think that not only Omarge is enjoying to make Little Pip squirm. I think Velvet Remedy enjoys it pretty much too. Then the thing with there being several killed rangers here in that power plant. Interesting. So there must be a group of Steel Rangers somewhere in that area, and I'm interested to see if Little Pip will meet them, because they have Steel Hoofs with them, and Steel Hoofs is a 200 years old Steel Ranger, so let's see where this goes. Overall, we have many transmissions from, or radio transmissions from Red Eye here, his radio broadcast. He is, how to say this? Little Pip states it pretty well in here. She says that he is kind of convincing. Because, yeah, if Equestria is to be rebuilt, every pony has to work together. He has a point. And that thing with the cutie mark, he mentions that he has had his cutie mark removed because he doesn't like a picture on his butt telling him what he should do, and that no pony would give him a chance to become anything if his cutie mark told that his talent was something else. Kind of reminded me of that cutie mark episode where Twist gets her cutie mark and Apple Bloom is trying to get her cutie mark too because Diamond Tiara has a cute Cinderella. I mean, we do know that Red Eye is a slaver, but overall, I must say he has a few good points. Oh yeah, and we have we also have that Hellhound trying to, well, use several mines on a door as a trap. I don't see how that would work, but okay. Oh, and of course, Little Pip also has a point when she's talking to Steelhoofs when they see these stylized pictures. She has the point in saying, what pony would build, or what person in human perspective, would build an infrastructure on a resource you don't have? On a power source you don't have? That is stupid. I mean, okay, Celestia had trading going on with the zebras for coal. But anyone who has a little bit of common sense, I think, wouldn't build an infrastructure on something that could, well, if the zebras had a bad day and don't want to ship their coal to you, then your whole infrastructure breaks down. And I wouldn't have built an infrastructure on a resource I don't have. Simple as that. Common sense. Obviously, Celestia doesn't have common sense in this story. At least I think so. Yeah, and we, of course, get another nice example of Little Pip's increasing telekinetic strength when she levitates the Sky Bandit over to an overpass where they can rest for the night. And what I really disliked was the memory orb with Zakura. Because, yeah, of course, I can understand it. It's well written. That's not the part I didn't like. It's just that this part shows what I have said all along. Ponies, especially these ponies, because they're at war with the zebras, are kind of racist. They see one zebra and think, oh yeah, she's got to be a spy. And then these ponies at the end saying, oh yeah, we've got to talk about Applejack's retirement, plotting against Applejack, but just because she says, give her a chance. So like, give her a chance, not every zebras are alike. That's the same thing I always say. You can't just say all the bronies or all the World of Warcraft players or all the, I don't know. It's just, you have to you have to make a difference between the people. And yeah, that the ponies in here don't seem to get that is kind of disheartening. And of course, we have the part Pyolite is very protective of Velvet Remedy. So far that she breathes fire when Little Pip pats Velvet Remedy's flank. I'm wondering what would happen if Velvet Remedy actually got a cold friend.
Would that cold friend have to, I don't know, get Pyrolite's agreement or something? That would be funny. Okay. Since you do use Visual Pony, I'm as always sure that I've missed so many things. And I'm looking forward to your opinions.